Reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, text 6. Jaya Jaya Gora Chanda Jaya Kripa Sindhu Jaya Jaya Sachi Suta Jaya Dina Bandhu. All glories unto Sri Gora Hari, who is an ocean of mercy. All glories unto you, O son of Sachidev, for you are the only friend of the fallen souls. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sapadantikam Adadanastanam Dante Idam Yache Puna Puna Shrimad Rupa Padam Bhoja Dulisham Janma Janmani Paragyayug Bhakti Risham Priyatnai Apayam Mam Manabipsamandham Kripam Buddhiya Paraduka Duki Sanatanastham Prabhumasrayami Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo Rama Rama Hare Hare. So, greetings from New York City, Manhattan, the little past the Upper East Side, for those of you who know the city. And I mentioned to you before my transition from greetings from Vrindavan to greetings from any place else but the Dham, and how leaving Vrindavan inspires me to read and lecture on the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And certainly New York City is a suitable place to speak about the Gaur Lila, because Gaur Lila manifested here with Srila Prabhupada in Second Avenue. I mentioned before that, especially speaking in the West, I feel more comfortable with Gaur Lila because it's more contemporary. I was speaking at Second Avenue and just on where it all began, just on this Friday, a very wonderful crowd of devotees. Such a nice center that's developing there, just like the old days, as some people will say. And I was speaking about Gaur Lila, how it's contemporary. If you take Srivas, if you take the apex of Krishna Lila, is the rasa dance, where the flavor of love, the flavor of devotion, actually reaches its height. In fact, the rasa of the Ras Lila becomes so intensified that it's considered that the rasa becomes supreme even over God. And the description is very nice. I'm not sure if it's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur or one of the other acharyas. The description is that just as generally someone acts for pleasure, and therefore the person is the cause and superior to the actions of pleasure. But when someone becomes intoxicated, then out of pleasure they act. And therefore the pleasure becomes the karna or cause of the person's actions, rather than the person becoming the cause of the actions of pleasure. And therefore it's stated in the ultimate reality, rasa vasaha, that he is this rasa or this supreme pleasure. So it's such an exalted pastime where the Krishna meets with his topmost devotees in the most suitable atmosphere. Uddhava was glorifying the quality of Krishna, that he's an expert judge of time, place, and circumstance. And he says, "Oh dear Krishna, you have picked the best time of the year in the best place in the world, with the best people in the world, to have your rasa lila." And we know in this rasa lila, the rasa, or the flavor of love that's exchanged, it just heightens to the highest degree. Krishna and his devotees in dance, in music, in right environment, the internal potency is just moving the whole, and that's what Vrindavan is. The whole setting is moving just to increase these loving exchanges. So that's Krishna, the Akhila Rasamrita Murti, the full embodiment of devotion. Now, again, I was also lecturing yesterday that Krishna not only means God, Krishna means God when he is not restricting the flow of love from his heart, when he's not restricting the full intimate manifestation of himself. And I gave the example of the high court judge, because he's sitting in a superior position. His aspects as a wonderful friend, his aspects as a lover, his aspects as a parent is checked for the necessity of that environment and the relationships in that environment where people want to and need to look up to him in reverence. So the position actually restricts the person. And what Krishna means is when God appearing, bereft of position, is in a position to fully manifest his heart. To explain this, I hope I don't lose my point here. So this rasa dance is the height, the whole setting, the whole atmosphere is an inspiration to the supreme absolute reality, Sri Krishna's desire to fully manifest his heart without inhibition to his most intimate devotees, and churn that intimacy and relationship by lila or pastime. So I was mentioning how Rasastali manifests in Gaur lila, and how Gaur lila is non-different than Krishna lila, just as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is non-different than Radha and Krishna. But the mood changes the form. We just gave just an example. A person is red with rage. The same person, his color has just changed. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the same person as Krishna. He's actually the same person as Radha and Krishna. It's just the mood of magnanimity and compassion, which is actually the mood of Srimati Radharani, has changed his bhav and his form or his complexion. But I was describing how, what is this rasa lila? What is this? So Srivasangam is rasa lila in Krishna's in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. It's not different than rasa lila. But what's the form? It's devotees doing kirtan. And therefore, what is kirtan? Kirtan is the holy name. What is the holy name? The holy name is non-different than Krishna. So just as Krishna was manifest in the Ras Lila in the threefold bending form, he's manifest in the same Lila, the same pastime, in form of the holy name. And the gopis and all the devotees are there in the forms of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the mood of Srimati Radharani and the other devotees. The other devotees that are there and also their moods of devotion. But it's something that's accessible, and it's even something that we ourselves may imitate now. We cannot imitate the Rasa Lila, but we can, and we can't even follow the Rasa Lila. We can't even really understand it deeply, but we can actually participate in kirtan, which is a form of the same mood. It's the same devotion, the same spirit, and that we have access to. So therefore, coming to America, I'm inclined to speak on this past, the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and I do relish very much being here in New York City because it's Gaur Lila, because Prabhupada was the sadhaka rup. There's two forms of every perfected living entity. Seva sadhaka rupena, siddha rupena chatrahi, every living entity. Generally, he has a siddha rup or a perfectional form in Krishna Lila, and a sadhaka rup, a form as a practitioner in Gaur Lila, like Rupa Goswami is the sadhaka rup of the exalted, perfected soul, Sri Rupa Manjari. So, in one sense, Prabhupada is the sadhaka rup of some great soul who hasn't revealed his eternal position in Krishna Lila. But in one sense, we can say that's the sadhaka rup, and it's Gaur Lila. It's Gaur Lila. So Gaur Lila happened in New York. The form may have been different, but the bhav of prema bhakti, because Krishna consciousness can't spread. You can't spread Sri Krishna bhakti rasa bhavato mati. That's the original term, the Sanskrit term for Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada got the term Krishna consciousness from Srila Rupa Goswami's poem, found in the Padyavali, Sri Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavato Mati. Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavato Mati. The Mati, the opinion or the mood, the attitude, Bhavato of devotion, and what type? Sri Krishna Bhakti Rasa. The one's perfected and heightened love for Krishna. So Sri Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavato Mati. You can't spread Krishna consciousness unless you have Sri Krishna Bhakti Rasa, Sri Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavato Mati. So Prabhupada was here. So although the form was different, it was really Gaur Lila, because Gaur Lila and Krishna Lila are based on Sri Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavato Mati. So it's actually very enlivening for me. And I relieve the separation I feel from Vrindavan by going to pilgrimage to 26 Second Avenue. It's practically the only place I know outside of Vrindavan where you can feel relief from that separation from Vrindavan, in one sense, because it's so much the birth of Gaur Lila in the Western world. And actually, Prabhupada wrote one letter, which I read one time. I was... and sometimes in Vrindavan we'd have problems with the foreign registration officer. So one time I got a quit India notice, and for someone who's attached to Vrindavan, a quit India notice is like a death notice. And of course somehow I was able to come back in by Krishna's grace and get a new visa. But when you get kicked out, you never can tell. I went to Prabhupada's room. I had a habit. The habit was, as I would go to his desk where they, this is even before the folio and everything, they had copies of his letters, and they would put the letters on his desk. So I had a hot habit when I had dilemma to go into Prabhupada's room and pray before his desk and be in the mood, Prabhupada, whatever you want, I will do. So I was, I was now leaving India. I didn't know what was going to happen, what to do, where to go. And I prayed to Prabhupada, and I read the letter on his desk. And the letter on the desk, it was a very nice letter. I think it was to Bhavananda. It said, New York is favored by me because I started the movement there. I wish all New Yorkers to Krishna consciously advance. So Prabhupada starting the movement here. So in that sense, the Sri Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavato Mati, that mood of the Leela and pastimes of Krishna, of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is felt here. So it's a suitable place to speak on Gaur Leela. I should mention one other thing here before I begin with the verses, that unlike when I was in Vrindavan, I was speaking a Wednesday class and Sunday that were two different subjects. I'm just going to speak continuously, knowing that some devotees only are registered or come on the class on Wednesday and some only come on Sunday. But what I'll do is I'll always give a summary. So whether you can only attend one day or the other, you can follow. So I'm starting the Madhya Leela, which is very nice because we get to associate with Krishna Das Kaviraj. And there's a verse by Naratak Das Thakur, Krishna Das Kaviraj Rasika Bhaktamaj, that he's the chief person who can relish and understand Krishna's pastimes in the spiritual world and actually can communicate them. So he's beginning now the Madhya Leela, and there's two divisions of Gaur Leela. Up until he took sannyas, the first 24 years, which is called Adi Leela, and that's been discussed. And then there's the next 24 years, which are called Shesha Leela. So he's beginning that. Within the Shesha Leela, there's the Madhya Leela, the first 6 years of the Shesha, the end pastimes, where he travels and preaches in South India. And then the last 18 years in Puri, where he does his Nirjan Bhajan and comes to fulfill the internal mission of his descent, which is to attain the mood, the bhava, the mood of Srimati Radharani, to taste her love for him, to taste the beauty of Krishna, which he can't do in the position of Krishna. Krishna's coming. And to taste the happiness that Srimati Radharani feels from the love of Krishna for her. So, a very exalted topic. And as a Vaishnava, he offers prayers. And every Vaishnava, before he speaks, he seeks empowerment. Now, I've also discussed this, and another point that I've discussed, which I think is really, really essential, is these books, they embody the heart of the Vaishnavas. And our whole goal in spiritual life is to cultivate the heart of a Vaishnava. And the chief quality of the heart of a Vaishnava is that he's humble. He's in the mood of a humble servant. And basically, our spiritual life is being in that consciousness. Whether one is active or one goes into internal smaran, but if you're in smaran, it's sevana bhavana. It's meditating on this mood of service. And this is actually, I was thinking of today, actually this morning, I was thinking of some of my godbrothers who have preached so actively and some who still are preaching so actively, and just seeing the nature of the consciousness where they're acting in the world, but at every moment you cannot continue that service and do it effectively. Every moment You have to be in Sri Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavato Mati. You have to be in the mood of service. And what is spiritual life? Basically, spiritual life is confronting our destiny and responding as a servant of Krishna to extract the message of our destiny, which is to move us further and further in that consciousness of a servant of Krishna and freeing us from the false ego. So it's so important in spiritual life to read the books of Srila Prabhupada, because by reading these books of Srila Prabhupada, you are associating with the core essence of Srila Prabhupada, which is what? His bhava. Prabhupada said these books are his personal ecstasy. It's his bhava. It's his mood. Sri Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavato Mati. And the way to become Krishna conscious is to associate with those who are Krishna conscious. And therefore, in any standard meditational practice, one brings the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas into his meditation. Because by doing that, their qualities will come to one. Remember Satchinandana Swami giving some seminar that I attended. He described a teenager's room. I described this before, with posters of rock stars and athletes and so many things. And you could see that just by the pictures, that the mood of these people come to that young teenager and he becomes like them. So if we bring the great personalities and souls into our consciousness, we become like them. And its very intense way is to actually read Srila Prabhupada's books, which is associating with his intense mood of devotion. Who can deny that Srila Prabhupada was just 100% thinking in the mood of service of his Guru Maharaj and Sri Sri Radha and Krishna? And not only that, but the Chaitanya Charitamrita gives us the author, Krishna Das Kaviraj, and his mood. And then Krishna Das Kaviraj, it's the life and teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in the life and teachings, we get all the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and their mood is exemplified. And not only do you get the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and their mood, but you also get, they describe the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and the poetry of Srila Rupa Goswami, which describes the mood of the eternal associates, the Siddharupas, the perfectional souls in Krishna Lila. So by reading these books in a prayerful mood, as Borijan said, not just to become a scholar, but in the humble mood to actually let these teachings impact me, let them actually change my heart, then it's a wonderful bathing process. Hare Krishna. It's a wonderful bathing process of the soul. It's a wonderful bathing process of the soul. So we should be very, very attentive, and I teach really one set. Krishna consciousness is for others, but it's also for ourselves, and I teach for myself so that I can actually get this mood. So I'm going to read the verses up until where we are at, and then we'll go over today's verse. So he's saying, his mood, Krishna Das Kaviraj, even a person with no knowledge can immediately acquire all knowledge simply by the benediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, I am praying to the Lord for his causeless mercy upon me. One day, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananto Sahodito Kodayaye Pushpavanto Tutro Santo Tamo Nato. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are like the sun and the moon. They have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Goda to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. So we see his heart. Vaishnava is always glorifying the Supreme Lord. And in glorifying the Supreme Lord, it inspires within one the eternal constitutional dharma or position of the soul, which is to serve Krishna. This is the whole process of bhakti. When you focus on the Supreme Absolute Reality, Sri Krishna, whom we have a relationship with, because he is all attractive, it inspires within us the desire to serve, which is the nature of the soul. And that's why bhakti, which is basically bhakti means to turn our consciousness towards God, is the topmost yoga. Yoginam api sarvesham madgitena taratvanam shadhavam bhajate yomam sameyukta. It's the topmost yoga because it actually deals with the soul. Purification of the soul. And purification means to bring something to its original point. And as Prabhupada said in Bhagavad Gita, it's a good thing I can repeat again and again. Prabhupada says that the perfectional state of the living entity is called a devotee. So by actually focusing our consciousness on Krishna in the form of the holy name, in the form of the sacred scriptures, in the form of the deities, in the form of the devotees, in the form of the holy dham, then devotion comes, attraction comes out. And with attraction for that object which is all attractive, devotion or the spirit to serve comes out of our heart. And our eternal purified position, our perfectional state, the perfectional state of all religion, all yoga, manifests, which is the nature of the soul, which is a devotee. So he's just glorifying. And now, I'm not going to read those verses, but he composes these very wonderful verses glorifying the presiding deities of not only Vrindavan, which is Madan Mohan, Govindaji, and Gopinath, but the presiding deities of the different categories of transcendental knowledge one needs to perfect his devotion or bhakti, which is Sambandhagyan, which is actually perfectional metaphysics, the perfect understanding of reality, which is Abhideyagyan, which is the method of acting according to that knowledge and therefore realizing that knowledge, and that's Govindaji, and finally Gopinath, which is the goal. To actually have pure love for the Absolute Reality. So now today's verses, this is his personal ecstasy, and we can share in it. All glories unto Sri Gohari, who is an ocean of mercy. All glories unto you, the son of Sachidev, for you are the only friend of the fallen souls. So nice, he's thinking of Krishna as Dina Bandhu, the friend of those who are dina or poor. This is such an important point. Krishna is the friend. Why is he the friend of specially the friend of those who are dina or poor? Because those who are poor, not just in material wealth, but in a realization and understanding that we have that. We're completely dependent on Krishna, and everything is actually Krishna. Hi, Bo. Can everybody hear me? Everybody still on?
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay. Okay, what's happening now is my cell phone ran out, and I'm on another phone, so sometimes what will happen is people may ring. I was in a flow there. Oh, yeah, so Dina Bandhu, this is such an interesting point that Krishna reciprocates our need. So when one who actually realizes that his shelter is Krishna, then Krishna fully gives him shelter. And when one is proud, the mood of pride is I am the controller, I am the enjoyer. And if you think you're the controller and the enjoyer, to the extent that you do, you're not seeking Krishna's help and shelter, and to that extent, Krishna won't give it. He'll reciprocate with you. One time I was in Vrindavan, and I was walking I love to do this when I just say one time I was in Vrindavan, and then I remember, this is my so wonderful that I can, I remember walking by the Pritgram path, and I met a former student of mine who became a very good top Bhagavatam scholar, and I immediately started talking to him about the story of Narada Muni and all the qualities of Narada Muni, that he was a young child, he wasn't frivolous, etc. And he looked at me, he said, you know, that's Brahmagyan, that he was so disciplined and self-controlled. He said, that's not what got him the mercy of the Bhaktivedantas. He said, he got the mercy of the Bhaktivedantas because the Bhaktivedantas were Dina Vatsala. They were the kind, Vatsala means affectionate, to those who were poor or dependent. And he said, if you look in the verse, the mercy that that Narada Muni got from the Bhaktivedantas is that the mercy is actually that they taught him the Bhagavatam. But why did they teach him the Bhagavatam? Because he was in a mood of need. He didn't think he was the controller and enjoyer. He thought he was the humble servant of Krishna, completely dependent on Krishna, and dependent on Krishna's understanding, knowledge, and teachings to become successful in life. And Narada Muni, I always mention this point. It's an amazing point. At five, you know, what is it, hundreds of thousands of years ago in Indian culture, it says he was the son of a maidservant. He didn't even know who his father was. And I doubt anyone, even this is Kali Yuga, as degraded as Kali Yuga is, I don't think there's anyone on this conference call that doesn't know who their father was. So even, and if someone didn't, at least he would share some company in this age. But Narada Muni must have been one in a million that somehow the son of a maidservant didn't know who his father was. But because he was in a material bereft position, it made him humble, and that humility, in other words, mercy requires an object of mercy, because he was such in need and accepted his position of need, that consciousness in the heart of taking shelter attracts shelter and mercy. And that's actually the basis of our spiritual life. The basis of our spiritual life is to actually come to the humble position where we realize that we need the shelter and authority of God in our life, which means the shelter and authority of his representative. So this is Krishna Das Kaviraj in that mood. You are the only friend of all fallen souls, Dina Bandhu. And then he's looking and he's praying to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and you are Kripa Sindhu. You are an ocean of mercy. Jaya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Srivasadi Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vinda. All glories unto Lord Nityananda and Advaita Prabhu, and all glories unto all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, headed by Srivas Thakur. So this is standard Mangalacharna. If you want to invoke auspiciousness, you glorify the Supreme Lord, the spiritual master, and the devotees. Purve kahalun adi lila sutragan yaha vistaraya chena dasa brindavandam. No, dasa brindavana. I did that yesterday, I could see. It's Brindavan. It's dasa brindavana. I have previously described in synopsis the adi lila, initial pastimes, which have already been fully described by Brindavan Das Thakur. So it's so nice that we have two main biographies of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by two personalities. And the nature of personality, even perfected personality, is, I described this yesterday, that the nature of the consciousness, the senses, is this unlimited stimulus that comes into the senses, but any human being, he can only... Haribo, I love children, but who's ever the mother of that wonderful child, please. mute the phone. I think you have to press 6. You can filter in any. I tried to give the example of I was giving class yesterday, and people were in the room, and I asked them to close their eyes, and I asked them if they noticed this and noticed this particular picture or this. And even though it certainly come into one's consciousness, even that into one's senses, it's not registered in the consciousness because, let's say, out of millions and millions of central impressions of any one time, one can only perhaps accommodate within the mind 2 or 3%. So which 2 or 3% do you accommodate? It has to do with the intelligence. It focuses the mind, and the intelligence focuses the mind according to its conceptions and according to its experiences and according to its tastes. So even in a perfected soul looking at Gaur Lila, there'll be a perspective. So even though Vrindavan Das Thakur meditates on Gaur Lila, he has perhaps a different relationship with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu than Krishna Das Kaviraj does. And due to that relationship, perhaps there's a different flavor or a different emphasis, or they describe particular pastimes more. Even we have in the biographies of Srila Prabhupada, different perspectives. And I know devotees that like one particular biography or another. Bhurijan describes that, you know, he wrote the very wonderful biography of Srila Prabhupada, and he describes that he's writing about my Prabhupada, because according to his approach to Prabhupada, he has a particular relationship and experiences a particular variety of mercy and a particular aspect of Prabhupada that he needed for his particular advancement. We have different relationships with different people. So here, he says, I have described in synopsis, because it was fully described by Vrindavan Das Thakur. And I mentioned before, Vrindavan Das Thakur never actually saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was sent by his spiritual master, Lord Nityananda, from Mamgachi in Moda Drudam Dweep, where he was born in Navadweep, but he never saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was sent for the duration of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's manifesting. He was sent preaching by Lord Nityananda. And although he was sent preaching by Lord Nityananda, and although he never personally met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vrindavan Das Thakur wrote his biography. Which also shows you that the understanding of personality is more through service than personal association, because even in personal association, you're still approaching according to your consciousness and filtering it. Anyway, that's another point, but he's Ate eva tara ami sutta matta kalun ye kichu vishesha sutta madye kahilun. I have therefore given only a synopsis of those incidences. Whatever specifics were to be related have already been given in that synopsis. Ebe kahi shesha lila mukya sutta gam prabara ashesha lila naya varnana. To describe the unlimited pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not possible. But now I wish to relate the chief incidences and give a synopsis of those pastimes occurring at the end. So now this is the task at hand. And even for us, what to speak, he wrote it, for us to understand these pastimes is difficult. And we understand something by his mercy. So he's described what? The Sesha Lila, the pastimes, which are Ashesha Lila. Shesha means end. Ashesha means no end. So the Sesha Lila, the end pastimes, are Ashesha Lila, or pastimes which have no end. They're unlimited. And because they're unlimited, nayaya varnana, it is not possible to describe. So how is he going to describe something which is not possible to describe because they're unlimited? Well, certainly it's not going to be by his own power. So therefore, in a humble way, he's glorifying and praying so that he can be used, he can become an instrument. And to become an instrument for some other power, you have to be malleable to that power, you have to be submissive to that power, you have to be devoted to that power, and you have to take the humble position. And with all his qualification, this wonderful book cannot manifest unless the Supreme Lord is personally working through him. So such a wonderful, wonderful consciousness. Ebe kohe sheshalila mukya sutragan. And he's also going to concentrate on the chief sutragan, the chief things of this Prabhu. 12. I like this, that we're actually covering something, because I do hope that I can actually, when I'm here in America, cover the Madhyan Anchalila. Paramadye ye bhaga dasa brindavandam chaitanya mangale vishtare karila varnana sebagera ihan sutra matva likava tahanye vishesha kichu ihan vishtabhira. I shall describe only in synopsis that portion which Vrindavan Das Thakur has described very elaborately in his book Chaitanya Mangala. Whatever incidences are outstanding, however, I shall later elaborate. So it's so nice. He's respecting. He's not a Muni. He's not trying to just write and create something that's new. He's just trying to humbly serve. This type of literature is not at all about ego. They're doing it on order. They're doing it on in the mood of service. And therefore, he is just taking what needs to be done. So Vrindavan Das Thakur has very elaborately described something, and whatever incidences are outstanding, however, I shall later elaborate on. And this is spiritual life. We can see that in spiritual subject matter, that it's unlimited because it's Krishna, and Krishna is unlimited, and the pastimes themselves are unlimited. And therefore, we even to a limited extent experience this. We see a word, or we see a verse, and we can expand on it. So even though Vrindavan Das Thakur had first crack at describing the pastimes, whatever's left he's describing, but he's so deep that he goes unlimitedly deep into those pastimes. And we were describing in the Bhagavatam when we were doing Krishna Leela, and I did, for those of you who want Krishna Leela, it'll be Krishna Leela, because there's no difference. We were describing that there was this word that described that the cowherd boys and the gopis, when they're singing about Krishna's pastimes, they're doing it with such devotion within their heart. And they're doing it appropriately. They sing a song which is appropriate for the occasion. And when I went in through with one friend of mine some of the commentaries on that word, they were describing, it's so much meaning from that word appropriately, that in the spiritual world, Krishna is so dynamic. Krishna is so attractive that even if Krishna's dhoti blows in the wind, or his peacock feather tilts to one side, it's so dynamic that they begin to sing incredible songs describing the dynamicism of those moments. So even for us, there's left even to describe with our realization and our humility. And what to speak, that the nature of philosophy is very interesting, because even if you understand a philosophical point, it has to be applied to a particular circumstance for its relevance to be manifest. And the nature of Kali Yuga is that with things perhaps pre-1900 didn't change for thousands and thousands of years, things post-2000, the whole environment practically is changing every year. So it's really a test of our realization, and there's so much need, therefore, for us to have realizations and to continually apply those realizations for the benefit of others, how they can see the philosophy in the modern world. So we can see he's very humbly now he says, Chaitanya Lilara Vyas Dasa Vrindavana Tanre Agyai Koron Tanra Uchishta Charvana. His mood, actually the authorized compiler of the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya is Vrindavan Das, the incarnation of Srila Vyasadeva. So look at his mood. Now he's writing something. He's not thinking, now let me surpass. But what? No, only upon his orders am I trying to chew the remnants of food that he has left. He's putting himself in such a this is his heart. This is not artificial. This is the nature of how a Vaishnava. There's two things. There's the head and there's the heart. And the Vaishnava, he stays at the platform of the heart, but for service, he comes to the platform of discrimination. From the heart, he's feeling everyone is serving Krishna better than me. But if he has to instruct someone who from the platform of analysis has less knowledge than him or less devotion, this is what it means Uttam comes to Madhya. But they like to stay on that platform of the heart because that mood of service, that mood of I am inferior and therefore I am the servant is actually the platform of the soul. And when that consciousness of service comes from the soul, it's so satisfying. So all we see, if we're associating with Krishnadas Kaviraj, what a wonderful soul. He's saying the authorized compiler is Vyasadeva, and only upon his orders I'm trying to chew the remnants of food that he left. So it's not... When we're doing a particular service, it's not a born of the false ego. I am the controller and I am the enjoyer, and let me do this thing so I get recognized. But no, we're doing a service because it's ordered. Lalita Vishaka Adi Saki Lalita Vishaka Adi Saki Brinda Agaya Agaya Koryo Seva Charanara Vinda. They're praying, let me serve under the orders of Lalita and Vishaka. This is humility, that there's higher authority with higher perception and higher vision, and we're under them for our direction and service in life. Bhakti Kari Siri Dari Tanhara Charan Seisha Lilara Sutra Gana Kari Varnana. So he's saying this word Varnana, describe. What is he doing? I shall describe, but he's telling how I shall describe. Placing his lotus feet upon my head in great devotion, I shall now describe in summary the Lord's final pastime. What an introduction to what his service is. Bhakti Kari, with devotion. Sire Dari, I hold on my head. Tanhara Charana, his lotus feet. And the Padasevana, serving the lotus feet, is one of the nine items of devotional service. But what it means? It means service. Padasevana, serving the lotus feet, means the service is done with humility and not ego. And therefore, to write such a book as this it's such a task because you have to accomplish something that's so great and not take any credit for it anywhere along the line. Because as soon as you take credit for it anywhere along the line, you're not qualified to write such a book. So what an immense task. It's like Lord Brahma, he has to create the whole world. And when Lord Brahma is creating the whole world, he's just thinking, should I take up this task? It's so much passion, it's so much I have to accomplish. How can I do it so I won't be overcome with false ego? How can I do this so I won't become overcome with false ego? And in response to that, the whole Bhagavatam is spoken. The only way you can actually do creative work in this world without being overcome with false ego, I am the doer, ahankara, I am the doer. Without that consciousness, the only way you can do that is by having the right amount of knowledge and realization to do it. And therefore, generally, transcendental literature is a very, as Prabhupada said, is a very special thing that's done under order. And Krishnadas Kaviraj himself didn't do the book until he got the mercy of Sri Madan Mohan Deity, who garland fell and was given to him. You can't do it. So he understands this so wonderfully. And it's not artificial. As he's saying it, he knows it's the process, but he understands that whatever knowledge, strength, poetical talent he has is not his constitutionally. It's something that's karmically given him. Of course, the nature of a great soul, from the soul he becomes poetic, that's also a fact. But still, it's something that's infused. It's mercy, it's coming down, and therefore one does not take credit for it. And as soon as one takes credit for it, then the work stops. For this class, because this mood of humility, I wrote three things. I wrote some notes here to share with you. Three things why humility is absolutely required for any spiritual accomplishment, especially writing transcendental literature. One, to realize the truth, you have to act on that platform. I mentioned before, I mentioned before that there's one famous saying about any great writer or great artist, it's inspiration, perspiration, inspiration. The inspiration must be there first. And, you know, you must have an eye and some experience of beauty. Then you can work very hard, and then you can recreate that beauty. There's a, you know, some pastoral scene, and then you work with your talents, and then it's recreated in another form. So this is what he's trying to do. He's trying to take the nature of the spiritual world, the Anchalila, and to put it in another form, which is poetry. So to actually do that, you have to have, you have to realize the truth. And realizing the truth means sambandhagyan, which means your relationship with the truth. And your relationship with the truth is that you're a servant of the truth. So any time the ahankara, the false ego, comes in, you're not realizing the truth. And if you're not realizing the truth, then how can you write that truth? So without humility, there can be no accomplishment in bhakti. And that's by definition. Also, what he's trying to describe is Krishna's energies, and Krishna's energies are inconceivable. Parashya shaktir vividhaya shuyate. His energies are inconceivable. So how do you realize Krishna's energies if they're inconceivable? Well, they're understandable if Krishna reveals them to you. So you need Krishna's mercy. And to get Krishna's mercy, you must be an object of mercy. So you have to be humble. And also, the task itself is absolutely immense. To put the biography and the teachings, the deep philosophical teachings of both Tattva and Rasa, of the story of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then you can't do it by yourself. If you try to do it by yourself, if you're prideful and say, it's done by my powers, what you will do will be limited by your powers. And the devotee's mission the mission of the devotee is unlimited. It's beyond his powers. The Prabhupada, to do what he did, it was beyond his personal powers. He had to be empowered and used by Krishna. And therefore, to be used, to be an instrument, we have to be humble. So look at the beautiful consciousness of Krishnadas Kaviraj.